Christ is risen. This is Father John. On the Monday after Thomas Sunday, forgive me for not having been able to post anything over the weekend. Things got away from me, not to quote Ronald Reagan or any other political figure, but mistakes were made. So, I'm just going to press on with our usual thoughts on the lectionary. I will make a brief comment about Thomas Sunday, the reading from Thomas Sunday at the end. And then we'll just continue on with our pattern. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto them, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith to the servants, Whatsoever he saith to you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So the first thing we want to note is that, notice it's it says, on the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And there's some positive, very good, useful notes in the Orthodox Study Bible on this passage. First, the Orthodox Study Bible points out the fact that it's on the third day, puts it in a decidedly resurrectional context, at least for us, given, of course, that our Savior rose on the third day. Notice also that there was a marriage, it takes pains to say, a marriage in Cana of Galilee, where our Savior began his ministry. And the editors there make the point that Galilee was a place where many Gentiles lived, and the fact that our Savior began his ministry there and began his miracles there indicates the fact that he would be calling the Gentiles to him. It's always very important to remind ourselves of that, by the way. Namely, that our Savior comes to save all men, that all who would turn to him, that is, right? Whether Jew or Greek, Englishman or Chinese, whatever the case may be. For as St. Paul would note, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek. Notice also it says the mother of Jesus was there. And we should take note that the wedding of Cana is the first of our Savior's miracles. It's also the first of seven signs in John's gospel. So we have first the changing of the water into wine at John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, which is, of course, today's reading. Then we have the curing of the nobleman's son at John 4, 46 through 54. Then we have the healing of the paralytic at John chapter 5, 1 through 15, verses 1 through 15. Then we have the feeding of the 5,000, John 6, 1 through 14. Then we have the fact that our Savior walked on water at John 6, 15 through 21. The healing of the blind man, which we'll commemorate in the next several weeks, at John chapter 9, 1 through 41. And the raising of Lazarus at John 11, 38 through 44. So our Savior performs these miracles. He performs them out of compassion. He performs them to show a sign to the people so that they might believe his divine power. So he comes to this marriage, and we should see in here that our Savior blesses marriage. And they ended up running out of wine. So the mother of our Savior comes to him and says, they have no wine. Now, she does this because she feels bad for the family. Vladika Verki, in his book on the four Gospels, which I've referred to in previous podcasts, says that the family is probably poor, and so she feels bad because obviously if you run out of wine at the wedding, it would be put a real damper on things. And so she comes in intercession to her divine son. Now notice he says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Vladika Verki goes on to say that that shouldn't be seen in negative terms. Woman, referring to a woman as woman, was a common phrase in the Near East, and was even viewed as a term of reverence. So he is making it clear that he's not just ready yet to do that. And yet he bends to the intercession of his mother. Because his mother, of course, not simply, of course, first because it is his mother, but secondly also because his mother is looking to do something good, right? She's looking out of compassion to help these people out of compassion for them. So she tells them, whatsoever he saith to you, do it. And then notice that there are six water pots of stone. And it says, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, at verse 6. And here we should understand that the Jews believed stone would not convey ritual impurity, right? So, and note also that there are six of them, which is one less than seven, so that to indicate that the law is less than perfect, right? Also, they have quite a bit of water. They're able to hold quite a bit of water, two or three firkins apiece, which is several buckets. I forget the number that Vladika Verki gives in his textbook on the four Gospels, but it's quite a bit now. I don't measure in firkins usually, so I forget exactly what the conversion is there. Hold on now. Let's see. Not just several. It says, Vladika Verki says, in other words, the total amount of water could have exceeded 25 buckets, making Christ's miracle all the more amazing. So they end up with so much wine, right? All right. So they fill these to the brim, and they bring it to the governor of the feast, and he tastes the wine, and it's the most, you know, delightful wine possible. And Vladika Verki points out, as does the Blessed Theophylact, that our Savior manifests his divine power here. It would seem that he didn't even touch the wine, but he's still able to change the water into wine, by his will alone, right? Indicating that he is God, the Son of God. And they end up with better wine and more wine than they could even need. And here we should see the abundance of grace in the new covenant, right? And here I want to recall what happened in yesterday's gospel for a moment. When our Savior's reaction to St. Thomas's unbelief, when he says, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. And of course, St. Thomas responds with this tangible proof of our Lord's resurrection, this tangible proof of our Savior's loving economia for him. He says, my Lord and my God. Right? And with all of these various signs, because there were, in the life of Christ, there is, as it were, signs upon signs. You have the fulfillment of all the prophetic types and sayings in the Old Testament in the life of our Lord. You have, as we mentioned, the performance of many miracles, at least the seven signs given in the Gospel of John. You have the fact that our Savior offers Thomas his hands and his side. Imagine the incarnate God offering you to touch his wounds. This is an incredibly intimate, loving act. And he does, our Savior does this out of condescension to us. He does it so that we, our faith may be confirmed, and that our faith having been confirmed, we may be able to grow in his grace. And notice again that the wine, the water being turned into wine, and the fact that they have this superabundance of it is an indication of the superabundance of grace that we have in the church. This should be so incredibly encouraging to us, because indeed we run into many obstacles in life to live the life of an Orthodox Christian. So yes, we have sufferings, and yes, we may even have a lot of suffering, but where there is suffering, there's all the more a greater amount of grace to in order to strengthen us to throughout the suffering, so that we may not sidestep the suffering, but rather that we may deal with it and get through it. So with that, let us seek out our Savior in this Paschal period. Let us take our whole selves, just as he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands." Let us reach forward to Christ throughout the Paschal period, contemplating the readings from the Gospel of John, contemplating the readings from the Acts of the Apostles, so that in so doing, by the intercessions of St. Thomas, we may be vouchsafed that superabundance of grace that our Lord provides and inherit the kingdom. Amen. Christ is risen.